The teaching tonight, before I even get started, is because Vera prayed for me twice. And as I asked her, she prayed for me once, and I started receiving downloads, communication. And our Father's so perfect. I mean, is he an engineer or what? Mm-hmm. He can go like that, all of a sudden, he can communicate something to me that takes me 15 minutes. And then somebody repeats what I said, and I'm like, no, that's not it. But you know what he just communicated. Mm-hmm. And she ministered to me, and this is where the teaching came from me being ministered by Vero. And going to look at some odd things, and what are the points? What's the point of some of these lessons? And I'm not going to say that I have conclusions to what I'm going to be saying, but I'm going to suggest some possibilities. One of them is going to be it's not controversial for this family, but James and John went to Jesus Christ and said, we got a request. What is it? For one to be seated at your right hand, one to be seated at the left. Okay, why is that possibly blasphemy? Because Christ is going to be number one after Yahweh. Who's going to be number two and three? Abraham, Moses, Noah, Jeremiah, Jonah. Here's all these people that have gone before him, and James and John wants to be seated at the right hand and the left. Now, we will look at that, and I've done teachings on that we're supposed to be seeking those things, but tonight's teaching is going to shed a whole other light that I think that I was missing half of that. And another thing that almost every minister and teacher misses, except for my father, and it's Moses hitting the rock. What was the purpose of Moses hitting the rock? And I'm going to suggest something, and what it possibly could be. So the lesson is, tonight's teaching is on service and honor. The purpose of the honorable positions is so that you can serve. President Trump, when he became president, he was exalted to the highest position there is. And if you're righteous, like he is, who outworked that guy?
Nope.
Nobody sacrificed as much as him. Nobody. And so was he honored? Absolutely. Why was he honored? It was supernatural. So that he could serve at a whole other capacity. Was he honored during it? Yes. And when Christ comes back, will you be honored again? Absolutely. Because he did something nobody else on the planet nobody has ever done. Service and honor, and the point of the high positions is to serve. And so if we return, we won't go there yet, but in Mark chapter 10, verse 41, actually verse 45, Yehoshua said, I came to serve, not to be served. Okay, and we have that. Philippians 2, it says that we are to esteem others superior to ourselves. So when you're teaching somebody, when you're correcting somebody, do it as if they're your superior. If it's your boss, if it's your employer, I'm gonna do it different, as if it's an illegal alien, my gardener. Get out of here! No? And so, and the lessons of Philippians 2 is we are to see others superior to ourselves, and who did that? Because Philippians 2 is about who? Yahweh's Son. Who washed the disciples' feet. Although he knew he was going to be tortured to death. I think it was like 3 days. He washed their feet. He looked at Judas. Judas, there's still time, man. He taught them. He gave a song to Yahweh. What is this? And our example is Philippians 2 is to serve, to serve, to serve. We're going to burn out if it's just service. And that's where the honor will come in. You will be honored, but what is the purpose to the honor? It's going to be to serve. Mark 9, chapter 33. I didn't know this before Vero prayed for me. Marco. And after I was being prayed to and I went to the scriptures, I went, how many times have I read through this whole book and never seen this? And now I hope, as I point these things out to you, these scriptures are never going to be the same. And you too will be like, how did I not see that? We have a living Elohim that if we humble ourselves, he will teach us things, and he can turn things, inside of His Word, and you'll see it, and you're going to go, how did I miss that? But my father's done it a couple of times. He points some things out, I'm like, well, that's never going to be the same. But Matthew chapter 9, we'll go, let me see, let me get there.
How to be great.
How to be great. And this, and I've missed this, the whole, in my opinion, not the whole, but maybe 50 to, what is more important, to serve or to be honored?
Serve.
Serve. It's not hard.
You know? Jolly wants to, he serves and he's honored and we're supposed to serve and it's okay, so is it 50%, whatever. But on this, and they came to Capernaum and happening to be in the house, he was questioning them. What in the way were you guys discussing? And I love that because I was talking to Vero. Yehoshua, as they are lowering a man through his roof, it was Yehoshua's own roof, he's gonna say your sins are forgiven. And then after he says it, they're going to say this is blasphemous because who could forgive sins but God? Okay? I didn't know this either. Did they say that?
No, it was in their hearts.
He knew their hearts. Right. Now, this is not the teaching. If he could know somebody's thoughts in their heart, could it be that as the man was being lowered, he asked for forgiveness? And Yehoshua, knowing his thoughts, was a witness going, your sins are forgiven! And then all of a sudden they go, oh, who can forgive? Did Jesus Christ forgive his sins? I always thought he did. But if you look at this, he's knowing their hearts. And then he looks at them and he goes, what's easier? Is he going to bow down and explain himself to Pharisees? He's Yahweh's son. He'll bow himself down to Yahweh. He looks at them like, you missed the whole thing. I believe he asked for forgiveness. Can you imagine? You're going to go, you can't get into his house. Hey, I know how to break in that lock as a locksmith. That's the rabbi's house. Could you put it back? I can't. And Yehoshua's going, you got to be kidding me. And then you can imagine, I go, forgive me, I'll never do it again. And Yehoshua going in his own house. And if that is what happened, I'm going, wow, that's beautiful. But Yehoshua knows their thoughts. That's important before you read this. Because in verse right before 34, he goes, what are you guys talking about? You ever had your parents do that? What are you guys doing? Nothing? Yeah. Let's talk about nothing. What were you doing? 34, and they were silent. For with one another they had discussed in the way who should be the greatest. And taking a seat, why were they silent? It doesn't say. But it would appear that they're possibly embarrassed. Who's going to be the greatest? Is it going to be Moses? Is it going to be here? And maybe they got into a heated argument. And I don't know why they were silent. Especially Peter. Peter's silent? That's crazy. Taking his seat, he rebuked them. How dare you? You should give and give and give more and give more. And look at Job. No. He goes, it's good to want honor. And taking a seat, he addressed the 12. He said to them, if anyone willeth to be first, he shall be least of all. And ministering of all, pause there, Melania, come here for a second. Come. Kneel down. Get up. Go back. How many adults would have done that?
I can't.
No, how many would have done that?
Yeah,
they would have been like, what's the point? No, explain to me why you just told me to get up and come over here. Because what does Christ say next? And taking a child, hey, get over here. He said in the midst of them, and folding it in his arms, he said unto them, be like one of these kids. What did Melania just do? Christ said, this is service. Did she question me? Did she argue with me? She submitted and she served. Christ goes, you want to be the greatest. It's good. Watch this. When I tell you to go, go. When I tell you to kneel, kneel. When I tell you to go, go. And is that, and if somebody, for the record, if somebody would have done that to me, I would have looked around. I possibly would have done it, but there's no way. I don't think anybody in here would have done what you just did. You just gave all of us a lesson. I think Christ did the same thing. The purpose of honor is service. And so that is hanging in the aura, or whatever you want to say, in the ozone, the atmosphere. Chapter 9, okay? One chapter later. Is it one chapter? The next chapter. Chapter 10. Verse 49. Excuse me, 35. The sons of thunder. Who gave them that name?
Yahushua.
Man, I like a nickname like that. 35. There came near unto him James. And James in Espanol is Santiago. I just learned that. Not even close. Santiago and Juan, John, the sons of Zebedee, saying unto him, Teacher, we desire that whatsoever we shall ask of thee, thou shalt do for us. Really? Really? You know what that reminds me of? A child. Okay? But he said unto them, What desire ye I should do for you? And they said unto him, Grant us that one on thy right hand and one on thy left hand we may sit in thy glory. What did we just learn in the last chapter? What is the purpose of honor?
Service.
Giving. Serving. Who has given more than Christ? His Father. Who has given more than Yahweh?
No.
Nobody. Who outworks him? Nobody. Who outworks Christ now? That's it. We are to be transformed, Romans 12, transformed into His image. And we are to desire honor so we don't burn out. And I believe James and John had it right. And I believe that they are asking, we would like to be your chief servants. We want to be the chief butlers. Because of chapter 9. Are they asking to be exalted like Satan? I'll exalt myself, or like Judas, because of envy? It appears that the other apostles is going to almost be envy. They missed it, I think. Easy for me to see it, say. I wasn't there. But I believe that they're asking, we want to be the biggest servants. Because they just learned it's one and the same. And that one to be sit at the right hand, one to sit at the left. But Yehoshua said unto them, Are you able to... you don't know what you're asking, first of all. Are you able to drink the cup that I am going to drink? Are you able to do this? Can you do this? Because what are they asking? If we look at chapter 9, they're asking, I want to be the biggest servant. What do you want me to do, wash toilets? What do you want me to do? I can be a child. I can do this. And they, are you able to drink of this cup? And if there was a title, this, are you able to drink of this cup? I believe that Moses wanted to go in the promised land. We're going to look at it. And Yahweh is, are you able to drink of this cup? Yes. Why did Moses want to go into the promised land? To be exalted? To serve. And I believe that hitting the rock is, we'll go through it. I got a guy named Joshua, Moses. There's a lot of people, and I believe that Moses was, he answered, I believe, and he said, Are you able to serve Moses? Can you drink? I believe Moses is good. And Yahweh goes, All right, let's go see. And I believe that Yahweh let the water run out with the new generation. And Moses got to see, this is not the generation you think they are. You ever seen it? You think you got loved ones and friends? Like when Tim died? And all the stuff that happens and things like that, you go, holy cow! And then here's Moses. Wait till they go thirsty, Moses. No, this is the Joshua generation. 40 years later, we're ready to go. Water goes dry, because I believe Moses says, I can drink of that cup. And they start, they're going to kill Moses. They're going to kill him and all the rest of this. So go hit the rock. Excuse me, speak to the rock. 40 years earlier, what did he say? Hit the rock. Now this time, and my father pointed this out, it looks like Moses is being set up. Because he could have just said, go speak to the rock. But he doesn't speak. He says, take your staff and go speak to the rock. I believe that Yahweh is going, are you able to do this? He might be able to do this. Numbers, as Deuteronomy chapter 3, is with Moses. As long as we're here, we'll come back to Moses. We didn't read. Let me finish. I'll just pause on Moses. Verse 39, chapter 10. And they said unto him, we are able to do it. And Yehoshua said unto him, the cup which I am able to drink, ye shall drink. And with the immersion wherewith I am to be immersed, shall ye be immersed. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, except unto them whom it hath been prepared. And what I believe that means is there's going to be a lot of people in line with a lot of capabilities. You want to be my number one attorney? Here's President Trump. I got a lot of attorneys. I'll give you a shot. And so what Yehoshua is saying, and you just think about that, how many Christians have come after this? Servants. Since then. Yeah. And he's going to go, it's not mine to give, but the job's open. For all of us, the job is open. And then we'll turn to Deuteronomy 3. Oh, we forgot verse 42. I'm getting so excited, I'm skipping my notes. If you looked at verse 42, actually 41, if you read verse 41, and the ten hearing began to be sorely displeased. Well, if you compare this to chapter 9, they shouldn't be sorely displeased. Because what they're asking is to be the biggest servants. Good. You want to outgive me? Fantastic. Go ahead. But they're displeased. And I'm going to suggest that the ten are possibly missing it. Thinking that they just want to be exalted. Oh, you're going to be in charge of everybody. I believe the reason why they were not rebuked. You can be. You guys got it. Because you guys are real servants. And and I believe that that is also a reflection of return to Deuteronomy 3 with Moses. What do we know about Moses and hitting the rock? Moses not being allowed to go into the promised land, what men teach, because he sinned one tiny time. Are you kidding me? Did water come out of the rock?
Yeah.
Yes. Did he have sex with Bathsheba? Did he do a golden calf? No. No. But what I believe is Joshua has been groomed up for 40 years. 40 years Joshua is being prepared to serve at the highest capacity. And here's Moses at the end. He wants to go in. What's the purpose of Moses? It's to serve Yahweh. It's to serve the people. And he's going to be honored. And we'll get to read, somebody to read chapter 3, verse 23 through 28 for me.
Then sought I Yahweh at that time for a favor, saying, my Lord Yahweh, thou thyself hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy firm hand as to which what Elohim is there in the heavens, or in the earth that can do according to thy doings and according to thy mighty deeds. Let me pass over, I pray thee, that I may see the good land that is over the Jordan, this good mountain and the Lebanon. But Yahweh had been provoked with me for your sakes, and hearkened not unto me. And Yahweh said unto me, enough for thee. Do not add a word unto me further in this matter. Keep up?
Yeah, keep going.
Ascend the top of the Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and see with thine own eyes, for thou shalt not pass over this Jordan. But command thou Yahushua.
Who?
Yahushua.
He's got a man. I got a guy for it. Moses. We've been raising up the assistant coach to take over this program for 40 years. He's ready. What do we have? We have hindsight. We can see what happens through the book of Yehoshua. Did he do a pretty good job?
Yeah.
Yeah. Achan, one mistake. Did he do good? Yeah, he did really good. Can Yahweh see the future?
Yes.
Yeah. Moses, we got a guy. And I think that Moses goes, I'm not ready to retire. We'll get to see that with college and NFL football. Here's Coach Bill Schneider. I still got some in the tank. Why would I quit? Well, Moses, I'm making some stuff up. If the objective is for you to keep working because you got in the tank, we would keep that up. But the objective is a chief servant. Who could do the job the best? And I believe that possibly, and Yahweh goes, okay, give this guy a shot. And it, now we'll pause there for a second. If you go to Numbers chapter 12, verse 13, what happened? And Numbers 20 is where he hits the rock, and he's not supposed to. I wrote down 12:13. It might be the wrong one. It's nobody was as patient. Oh, there it is. It's 12:3. Almost every other translation is going to say nobody was as meek as Moses. It's not the Hebrew word. And if you'd like me to show it, I can show you. It's not meek. Page 170. Would somebody read verse 3?
12:3. Now the man Moses was patient exceedingly above all the sons of earth.
Okay. What was he?
Patient. Exceedingly.
Patient. Exceedingly. Would you have to be patient with Israel? With your own brother and Miriam? Are you a golden calf? And you're my big brother. Holy cow. Oh. And Yahweh's going to kill him. And Moses is like, no, don't kill him. Is that patient? I believe that when we get to Numbers 20, Moses' patience was just waning. He's 120 years old. Yeah. He's looking, speaking to it. You got to be kidding me. Bow. He hits it. It works. And Yahweh's like, it's not that you did bad. But the position you have is because you're patient. Donald Trump, one of the things that it appears that he values the most besides you got to have ability is loyalty. Can I trust you? That's why he surrounds himself with Christians, devout Christians, that have to submit to a higher code. Can I trust you? And I believe with Yahweh, and I believe with Moses, when you look at that scripture, what made Moses so extraordinary, one of the things, he was so patient. Have you ever hit something because you're irritated? You ever mouthed off or slapped something? Yeah, all of us do it. And I think Moses, after 40 years, and Yahweh's going, dude, you were this close. That close, Moses. But I got a guy. I got a guy. Now, all of that speculation until you turn to chapter... It's still going to all be speculation. But what brings us together, the keystone, is 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 17. I believe time was running out. Moses hit it. And Yahweh's like, it's not that big of a deal, Moses. I got another guy. I'm not ready to retire. I understand. But this verse right here, I believe, explains why Moses... The most likely suggestion there is why Moses wasn't supposed to go in. Chapter 2, verse 17. Would somebody read that for me?
So Nana became exceedingly obstinate on that day. And Abner and his...
Oh, it must be 1 Samuel.
Yeah.
I wrote down the wrong scripture.
Boy, you're fired.
Excuse me. 21:17. Gotta have
2 Samuel 21.
21. 21:17. 21. Okay, somebody read that for me.
Go ahead, Wendy.
But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to his help. Is that the one?
Yeah, David's about ready to die. A giant's see that the king of Israel, who is also the Christ line, is fighting. And when the giants see that the king here, not just a king, the king, Yahweh's anointed is here, they come. Okay, so that's the...
Why don't you read start with 15?
Okay.
Story.
And the Philistines had yet again a war with Israel. So David went down. I guess for Veronica, with Satan, the adversary, if he could kill David, because Yahweh said Christ is going to come through David. He goes, because thy son, he was talking about Solomon and his own son, from his own seed, is going to build a temple that's going to last forever. Solomon's temple was torn down. What is he talking about? He's talking about Revelation. Jesus Christ is going to build that. And Satan sees this. If we can kill that guy, we can possibly stop Christ from coming. So here comes the purpose of the giants. E.W. Bullinger believes the purpose of the giants were to kill, wipe out the Christ line by Satan. I'll go back to 15. And the Philistines had yet again a war with Israel. So David went down with his servants with him. Now, do you think Barack Obama would be on the front line? Do you think Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, how about Roosevelt? Do you think they'd be on the front line? Do you think they would even have their sons on the front line?
I think Roosevelt would.
If he didn't like him, he would.
You'd use it.
Theodore. I'm talking about not Franklin. A Democrat's not going to be on the front line because the military is what they wipe their butt with. But a servant is on the front line. Where is this king? That's not where king should be. I forgot where I stopped. So David went down and his servants with him and fought with the Philistines, and David became faint. So it appears David was fighting and doing a good job. Okay. So Ish-bi-bendo, who was of the descendants of the giant, the weight of whose spearhead was 300 shekels of bronze, he also, being newly armed, thought to smite David. Abishai, son of Zeruiah, that's his nephew, I think, David, came to his help and smote the Philistines and slew him. Then sware the men of David, saying unto him, okay, they're going to tell a prophet and the king of Israel, the anointed one, we don't tell you what to do, but we have counsel like Jethro went to Moses. They say, thou must not go forth any more with us to battle, that thou quench not the lamp of Israel. What was Joshua going to have to do? This. Yeah. And if Moses dies, how close was it? It was a rock in his patience, but Moses, if you die, the lamp of Israel could be quenched. Yahweh can see the future, and I believe what was happening is, and the purpose of me bringing up Joshua and James and John is service, and it's not just your service, there's other people competing for the same jobs. And I believe Joshua was competing from, not out of obligation, Yahweh's raising this guy up. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Moses, you're supposed to retire! You don't want to retire. Okay. Can you imagine the angels watching and going, here's Moses. He's still got water out of a rock after 100, he's 120 years old going, but if you're going to put a footnote by Numbers 20, it should be so that the lamp of Israel is not quenched. And it's not Moses, you're being punished. We just got another guy, Moses. Moses, Veronica, do you know who buries Moses? You do? No, it says a rhetorical question. Yahweh tells Moses, you and I, we're going to go have a talk. Moses goes up, the servant. Why is Moses going to go into Canaan? I'm not done serving. Serving. And Yahweh goes, I got another guy. Well, if I'm not going to serve, what's the purpose? Would you like to go to sleep, Moses? All right. Moses goes to sleep and Yahweh buries him. Who buries him?
Yahweh.
Is that honor? Are you kidding me? If a king buried me, If Donald Trump, if I died, God forbid, and Donald Trump calls and says, where's the funeral? He's going to be put into my plot. Who was this guy? Yahweh's going to say, Moses, come on. And can you imagine the walking in the garden, him and Yahweh talking? How you feeling, Moses? Like an interview? I'm ready to go. Well, it's not that you can't do it, but we got this other guy, Joshua. He's ready. And if you, and here's my other, well, what's the point of going on? Well, it's up to you. Well, I'll go to sleep. Wouldn't it be a great way to go to sleep?
Yeah.
120, that's it. I want to go to sleep. Okay, go to sleep. What about my body? I'll take care of it. And if anything, can you imagine the funeral he would have gotten? When kings die, when presidents die, there's all these things. We know that with Elijah and Elisha, what was the purpose of Elisha asking for double Holy Spirit upon him? To exalt himself, of course. To serve double the capacity. Because Yahweh's not mocked. If you're haughty, Luke 14:11, if you exalt yourself, if you want power to be exalted, he's going to put you down. And if Elisha asked for double portion, I want to be the most famous! Not good. Not good. Because Elisha, who am I? You are Yahweh. Who else gives me? The purpose of your life is job applications and job interviews and everybody competing to be like their father who gives and gives and gives. The purpose of your existence is to give in this life, but the ultimate purpose is to see what position you'll have in the next. Galatians 6:9 says, you will reap if you faint not, you don't quit. Turn to Hebrews 12. And I think this is where the majority of Christian teachings and churches are missing it. Why? Why am I going to say? Because people burn out. Pastors burn out. Husbands burn out. It's all this giving. We just watched a movie about a paraplegic with no hope. What is heaven? Oh, you'll go to heaven. Tell me about it. Well, I believe this. Well, what does that guy believe? Everybody believes something different? That's called a fantasy. Tell me about it. And so without hope, what's the purpose of life? And so this paraplegic we watch, I don't want to live anymore. And that's okay. But if he knew about a hope, if he knew that at the resurrection, when Christ comes back, you can serve. The purpose of your life is to give. And if you give, our Father will reward you in this life and in the next. And in the next one, my paraplegic friend, you could be the greatest position. You could have a perfect body, 7'5". Great looking, run like a cheetah, and do these other things. All these things that you desire is missing. You can get those things. It's the purpose is to serve. And I think people burn out because they're not thinking about rewards. You need rewards, but not to exalt yourself and become self-centered too much, but so you don't burn out. But the purpose of the honor is so you can serve more. And I think James and John had that. It was to serve. And Hebrews 12, because we started with Jesus Christ, who gave more than him, esteeming others superior to himself. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, indeed, seeing that we also have encircling us so great a cloud of witness, stripping off every encumbrance and easily entangling sin, with endurance we must be running the race that is lying before us, looking unto our faith's princely leader and perfecter, Jesus, who in consideration of the joy lying before him. I forgot to go to Acts, so we'll go back to Acts in just a second. We'll close in the book of Acts. The joy set before him endured a cross, shame despising, and on the right hand of the throne of God hath taken his seat. Turn to Acts 6. Because I want to end looking, not just thinking, because Stephen got a chance to see I have a great song that I love, except for one of it. He says, "You are the glory that was set before His throne." Me? How humble is what I'm thinking. You're telling people, Christians, you're the reason why Christ died. One of the reasons is what I'm going to say, because when Christ finally gets his paycheck, what does he do? He's going to go to the right hand. Did Joseph save his brothers' lives? Absolutely. Was it 100% for them? Or was it for our father? It's for you. And how good did it feel to be Joseph when he's seated as Pharaoh? Joseph, you're at my right hand. You're as a Pharaoh, but remember, I'm still Pharaoh. There's nobody above you. You are my image. And then here, how good did that feel? And if we look at Stephen, we got to see the glimpse. Chapter 7. Thank you. Verse 55. Why I wanted to look at this one is because he had not been there very long. When I got my first suit, and I finally learned how to do a tie, man, I was so proud of my life. I had a briefcase, and here's Christ. It's a brand new office. Everything's new. Here he is, and Stephen's going to get a chance to see it, and Yahweh's going to give us. And what is he going to see? Verse 55. But he, being already full of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach Kodesh, looking steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of Yahweh and Yehoshua standing on the right hand of God. The glory that was set before him in Hebrews 12 was this. And through that came us. And we can tell people, Acts 20, it says, it is better to give than to receive. We know that. Okay, we know that. But serve. Look for the highest positions, but remember that the highest positions is so that you can serve at a higher capacity. Well, that doesn't encourage me. Look at Joseph. Look at President Trump and some of the stuff he got to do. And even President, I won't want President Trump's life. Okay. What about his life in the next life? What about when Yahweh gets to meet in Christ President Trump for what he did? Is that going to be worth it? Oh, I would like that part, not the first part. I'll take the glory, but not the suffering. But Yahweh will paint us a picture to say, you have glory set before you. And look at it. Look at it. And Yahweh tells us through his son, Christ Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, it is better to give than to receive. And who tells us that? What does John 3:16 say? Anyone?
For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have life aged abiding.
So can he tell you how good it feels to give when he gave his only begotten Son, his perfect Son? And what did he get back? When Abraham received Isaac back from the dead, figuratively, he looks at his son, he goes, Son, you were going to let me slit your throat in the hope of a resurrection because I asked you? Yes, Dad. Can you imagine that relationship at that day forward? Abraham just going to sleep, going, who could do this? And then maybe even Isaac has kids, right? How could my dad have done that? Could I do that to Jacob? Oh my goodness. And here this thing is. And so imagine, but then Yahweh with Christ, can you imagine their relationship? And that's John 3:16. So when he says it's better to give than receive, he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
It's like somebody who's been married 50 years going, hey, obey the word, submit, wash each other's feet. It's going to be worth it. It works out. And then all that wraps up with, would somebody recite Colossians 5:14-15?
There is no Colossians
5. 2 Corinthians. Sorry. 2 Corinthians. I say Colossians. That was not a step. That was a typo. Go ahead. 2 Corinthians.
Let's see here.
For the love.
Yeah, I've got blocks. So.
For the love of the Christ constraineth us.
and to judge this, that one in behalf of all died, his they all died, and in behalf of all died he, that he might live for them.
For the love of the Christ constraineth us. It constrains us. The love of Christ, it obligates you. You owe something. Constrains us. Having judged this, that one in behalf of all died, so that those who live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and awoke. The purpose of yours and my existence is now to wash his feet. And I guarantee it. I was watching the Passion of the Christ. Now Christ goes, now wash my feet, Peter. Do you think Peter would hesitate to wash his feet? It's about time, man. Look at that. Peter, are you kidding me? I'm supposed to wash your feet. And I was kind of wrap it all up. Well, how much we owe Christ. I was watching the Passion of the Christ and him dying the death of the Christ. And he did that for me. And then Christ reminded me of 2 Peter 2:5. You know, 2.
Not 2:5.
We have one mediator between God and man. Amen. Christ Jesus.
Yeah, that's the
1 Timothy 2:5. And so this picture is a mediator in between God and man. Not only did Christ die for us, he has mediated everything between God and I, like Moses. When you and I deserve to be popped, Yehoshua goes, Dad, 1 second. Chuck, we got to talk, man. He's going to pull your commissions. Or Wendy, hey, you got to go on a walk. And here he is. Yeah. Aaron,
not me.
You got to learn how to be slow to speak. But here he is. He's never stopped serving and serving and serving. In Colossians 5, give. But don't give without a purpose of a position, an honorable position. Be obedient like Melania. And if you want to really be blessed, if you want a full life, be like Christ. And obey just like that, and he will lift you up, and he'll make it all worth it.
Amen.
So James and John, the why they want to be exalted is because they want to be the number one and number two servants. To give, outgive everybody. Is that righteous? I'm going to say that based off of the chapter before. Moses, we got another guy. We got Joshua. And you have other people competing for your position. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Vero praying for me, for your teaching. And we thank you for these words. Know, my children, that my plans get better and better every time you put yourself in a position to receive. Those positions are turning on Christian teachings. Those positions are memorizing scriptures. Those positions are kneeling when nobody's looking. Those positions are when you consider me. I have more information and more love than you can ever imagine. It is my desire for you is to overflow you with joy, peace, and to give you the encouragement you need, because I can see many of you are about ready to burn out in certain areas. It's so hard, and I understand it. Let me encourage you. I took Peter, James, and John on top of the Mount of Transfiguration. Could it be that these three were possibly burning out also? Could it be that they needed some encouragement? My three leaders, could it be that they needed to see the hope that was before them? I will do the same thing for you if you humble yourself. And I will keep you from burnout, and I will lift you up, and we will get work together. Amen.